The following telephone recordings were made in 1977 from various offices in New York City. So far in this series, we've been using Crossbar 5 lines to make all our long-distance calls. Well, let's take a break from that and hear long-distance from other perspectives. For example... This phone call is being made by Ben, who's calling from the Fairview Avenue, Brooklyn panel, and he's calling a number in Atlanta. This is an open sleeve number in the Atlanta downtown step, that's why it didn't ring. The route for this call was the Fairview Avenue panel, to Forest Hills Crossbar Tandem, to the Atlanta 4E. You'll notice that on this call, Forest Hills didn't let us hear the MFs, and that's because of the Kama-type trunk, which I'll explain later on. This open sleeve number made it possible to get two people on one call to intercept. In this case, it's AIS in centralized intercept emulation mode. In just a minute, Ben's line will start ringing because I triggered it to by dialing the number, and then I'm going to call in on a regular, properly working operator intercept number, and then the two of us will get intercept together and be able to talk over it.
Calling 523-7996.
Thank you. The number you have reached, 523-7996, has been changed to a non-published number. 523-7996 has been changed to a non-published number.
Now, normally you could only get one line on intercept at a time because the sleeves are all connected together, and that means that when one's busy, they're all busy. But the open, independent sleeve makes it possible to get two on intercept. This particular number actually occurred naturally, and I discovered it a week before this step office was scheduled to be replaced.
Hi there.
What is this? There's so many open sleeves in this town. I don't understand.
Well, there'll be a lot less tomorrow.
Yeah, there will. It's so crazy. Maybe I should, I like the idea of going to one of the other offices that's going to be ripped out and calling this, you know?
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
Like going to the 7-5 office and calling this.
Well, you can call me, too. I'm dialing direct, so I can't stay on here too long.
Yeah. Oh, did it soup you?
Yes, I think so.
It did?
I'm pretty sure it did.
Oh, okay, see if it did. Oh, I should disconnect first.
Okay, bye-bye.
In fact, I'll try to come back in, but it'll probably hold it busy. Well, anyway, if it doesn't unsoup, then you can be sure I can't come back in.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
When I hung up on my call to intercept, that caused Ben's call to go on hook. And then 20 seconds later, Forest Hills timed him out by sending an on-hook condition on the camera trunk. And then the district, i.e. the first selector in panel that he went through, dumped him to reorder. And that's a long-distance call from a panel, going to an unusual type number, but still, that was a paid conversation, so it contains all the ingredients of a regular phone call, except that it didn't ring so quickly. Here's another call from Fairview Avenue panel. The route for this call, again, is Forest Hills Cama to the Atlanta 4E, to one of the Atlanta steps that was going to be replaced by ESS on Labor Day 1977. Well, this is a very different sounding way to begin a long distance call, isn't it? Especially considering that both of these calls went through the same Forest Hills crossbar tandem that we had heard earlier. But it sounds very different, again, because of the CAMA type trunk that it's going over. CAMA stands for Centralized Automatic Message Accounting. Panel and number one crossbar offices in New York City do not do their own call recording process for direct distance dialed calls, the way number 5 crossbars and ESSs do. The automatic message accounting, or AMA, is centralized, hence the term CAMA, C-A-M-A, and the same crossbar tandems that are used as the secondary gateway from crossbar 5 offices in New York City are also used as the only gateway to the long-distance network from panels and crossbar 1s, because they have the CAMA function, and the 4As in the city do not. Let's make some more long-distance calls from a panel. These next calls were made from the West 73rd Street panel from my apartment right across the street from the central office. West 73rd panel has new dial tone. Let me play that call again and describe it as it's going through, without getting too much into how panel works. That's a subject for another presentation. We're talking about direct distance dialing here, and actually, panel and direct distance dialing in the same sentence makes me feel a little weird, because the long, proud tradition of panels, which were installed in the 20s and 30s, really stands in its own right. And nationwide DDD was only added in the 60s. But anyway, here's how this goes through. The route for this call is from my West 73rd Street panel to 10th Avenue crossbar tandem number 2,
21243,
to Montreal 4A,
5141,
to a step tandem to a step office. I'm about to dial the third digit of area code 819, which of course is in Quebec. When I do, the register sender in this panel will direct the district, i.e. the first selector in panel, to the outgoing trunk group to 10th Avenue Crossbar Tandem Number 2. That's our gateway to the long-distance network, which does CAMA for us. Now, the trunk to 10th Avenue was selected after the third digit. I'm about to dial the last digit. The register sender is going to go off-hook on that trunk. The trunk will flash, and then the register sender will MF the 10-digit number we're calling and drop out, leaving us on the trunk. Now we're on the trunk to 10th Avenue Tandem Number 2, which immediately goes off-hook. Now that's the protocol for CAMA. 10th Avenue goes off hook at this point and will stay off hook for the rest of the call. It doesn't have to convey the answer supervision back to us, because it's doing the billing. All it has to do is unsoup us when it wants to disconnect us. Now I've edited this so that I'm talking a long time. In real life I couldn't talk this long. What actually happens immediately after it goes off hook is, the ANI-B system in my panel gets my number and MFs it to 10th Avenue. And now, without our hearing much of this, 10th Avenue picks up a trunk to Montreal 4A. The 10th Avenue sender that we're on then waits for a flash, sends the 10-digit number we're calling, and drops out, leaving us on the Montreal trunk. Montreal is now dial pulsing 7 digits, never mind that high tone, I'll explain that later, to a step tandem, and when it cuts through, the trunk immediately clicks, and we find ourselves having already reached a recording in a step office. The nature of the trunk arrangement here is that if I don't hang up long enough, and in fact, every time you hang up a long-distance call on panel, you temporarily fall through the reorder. You can hear that as you monitor the phone line while you're hanging it up. You hear it temporarily go into the reorder and then drop to the idle state. The West 73rd panel is one of the few in New York City where you can actually hear the MFs pretty clearly, though not usually as loudly as on that last call. Now, I mentioned that the CAMA trunk goes off hook at the beginning and stays off hook for the rest of the call. That means that you don't get that loud wireline supervision clunk when the long-distance party answers. Here's another call to area code 819. The route is 10th Avenue Tandem 2 to Montreal to a crossbar 5. When the party answers, notice how you don't hear as part of the answer sound. Nice frequency inversion crosstalk there. Now, had this same call been made through 10th Avenue from a number 5 crossbar office, the answer would have sounded like this.
Hello.
But instead, it just went.
Hello.
The supervision's not getting all the way back to us, but we would be charged for the call if we didn't hang up right away, because 10th Avenue's making the record of the call. Here are two calls to a CX-1000 in area code 819. Many of the CX-1000s had some complex coded ringing, and this one happens too. These calls go from my West 73rd panel to 10th Avenue Crossbar Tandem to Montreal 4A through a step tandem to the CX-1000. That's quite a ring pattern there. Long, short, short, short. They must have had some hellacious party lines in the good old days. I'm sure they don't have that many parties on there now, and that ring pattern is probably not used by anyone. You'll notice that sometimes the ring quality changed. That's probably due to other subscribers' phones ringing at that moment. And there was some crosstalk under the first ring that somehow reminded me that Quebec is indeed a distinct culture. I guess that's joie de vivre. Now, part of the process by which the ANIB system detects my phone number involves sending a 5800 Hz tone down the sleeve lead. That tone gets sent one time for every long-distance call that is dialed from my panel, and so being right across the street from the CO and making a long-distance call, you not only hear it at the appropriate time, which is then, but you also hear it as crosstalk throughout your entire phone call. And that's what that high-pitched tone in the middle of that first Quebec call was all about. Now, when the ANIB sender is sending, you are temporarily cut away from the trunk so you can't hear the sound, obviously, because it's actually MFing the phone number. On this next call, I'm going to dial a vacant code in Alabama. That causes 10th Avenue to dump us into its vacant code recording right away. It starts ringing. And then, meanwhile, the ANIB sender goes ahead and sends my number anyway, even though 10th Avenue isn't listening for it. You'll notice that you start to hear the ring, and then the ring is gone, and then the ring comes back, and then finally the recording gets around to starting up.
Problem in completing your call is dialed. Please check the number and dial again or ask your operator to help you. This is a recording. 21243. We're sorry, but we have a...
Just to review some of the crashing clicks here, this is the sound of the register sender dropping out and the camera trunk going off hook. Next, the ANIB system finds out our number and sends it to the camera tandem. And now our camera tandem can put the call through, and the cut-through sounds like this. Now that's the way the cut-through sounds when the outgoing trunk is a long-distance type trunk, such as to Montreal. If it's a local trunk, such as to the New York 4 or 7 sectional center, then there's no carrier noise, but the cut-through sound is the same, it just sounds like this. As you can tell, when a crossbar tandem cuts through on this kind of a trunk, a camera-type trunk, that is, it doesn't go ta-da-da. Instead, it goes boom-da. Boom-da. Now let's hear some boom-das, followed by the sound of a 4A going to a crossbar 5 tandem. Here are a few calls, again, to area code 819 in Quebec, from my West 73rd panel through 10th Avenue, Montreal 4A, a crossbar 5 tandem to a step.
This is a recording. We are unable to complete your call as dialed. Please check the number in your directory or ask the operator for assistance. Please
Now I'd like to introduce you to the other half of the great New York Sectional Center, New York 4. As you know, New York 4 and 7 together are the major switching office for New York City. New York 7 is a 4A, and New York 4 is a 4M. 4Ms are an earlier version of what ended up being a very popular switch, the 4A, and for most purposes they sound identical to 4As. They cut through with a simple tick. But there's one exception to this. When a 4M dial pulses out, you can actually hear the receive side of the connection during the outpulsing, so you hear the pulsing as reflected back from the distant end. 4As, on the other hand, don't do that at all. You just hear silence and then a tick when it's over. These next calls go out from the Fairview Avenue panel on a Camatrunk to Forest Hills Crossbar Tandem
21233
to New York 4
2122
to the York, Pennsylvania Step Tandem
7179.
After you hear the Forest Hills bumpta, we will be connected to New York 4. Then you will hear New York 4 dial pulsing to York, Pennsylvania. The dial pulses themselves are very soft and subtle because we're listening to the receive path of the trunk from New York 4 to York, Pennsylvania. And so the main thing you hear are the relays in York responding to the dial pulses, and then very softly you hear the pulses themselves reflecting back. York, Pennsylvania is an independent step tandem. The tributaries are all step or Stromberg XY. It's very hard to tell which is which. Definitely some are step, but some of these rings are the same rings I hear in confirmed Strombergs, so it may be a mix of the two.
I'm sorry, your call cannot be completed as dialed. If you need to check the number, please dial directory assistance. This is a recording from York, Pennsylvania. I'm sorry, your call cannot be completed as dialed. If you need to check the number, please dial directory assistance. This is a recording from York, Pennsylvania. I'm sorry, your call...
Thank you.
I'm sorry, the number you have reached is not in service. If you need to check the number, please dial directory assistance. This is a recording from Glen Rock, Pennsylvania. I'm sorry, the number you have reached is not in service. If you need to check the number, please dial directory assistance. This is a recording from Glen Rock, Pennsylvania. I'm sorry, the number you have reached is not in service. If you need to check the number, please dial directory assistance. This is a recording from Glen Rock, Pennsylvania. I'm sorry, the number you have reached is...
On that last call, we hit a busied out vacant level before the number was completely dialed, and you can actually hear the selector sliding over to the 11th terminal where the reorder is as New York 4 keeps on dialing. Now here's a call to a supervision test in the York area, which demonstrates two things, the tone applier and the fact that the wire line supervision back to us isn't following the flashes because this is a camatrunk and it just goes off hook once. You can hear how soft that flashing with a tone applier sounds because there's no wireline supervision going on. If there were, it would sound more like this. Now that you've heard a 4M in action, let's get an overview of the history of 4Ms and 4As. Here's Mark from New Orleans to explain.
The very first number 4 type switch, simply a number 4 crossbar machine, was installed in Philadelphia in August of 1943. Yes, during World War II, but it had been prepared prior to the war. That was the only number 4 machine installed during the war in Philadelphia, Philadelphia 2. It was also the only machine that had a cordless number 4 toll board. That was the only time a number 4 cordless board was used in the toll network that I'm aware of. After the war, there were five more number four machines installed during 1948 and 1949. These machines basically did three-digit translation of just the area code, and there was a concern that maybe they needed to do six-digit translation of the area code and the office code. In 1950, the first of what were called the A4A machines began to be installed, designed as anticipated number 4A, the following A meaning advanced. There were 13 of them total. These were installed between April of 1950 and March of 1953. The first was Albany 2. These were installed without a card translator box, a box which had about 1,000 punched metal cards, which were used with a light source and a photocell to do six-digit translation or three-digit translation of the area code or the area code plus office code. But at the time that these were installed, they did not have the card translator box with the machine. The number four machines were retrofitted so that they could have a card translator box retrofitted into them, but they were not originally manufactured that they could plug it in easily. That's why the six number four machines were later designated number four M machines, the M for modified. The card translator boxes were added to the six number four machines to make them number four M's and to the 13 A4As sometime after March of 1953. The very first number 4A machine installed with a card translator box already with the machine was May 1953 in Scranton, Pennsylvania. All subsequent machines were number 4As, or by the late 1960s, instead of using a card translator box, they had an electronic translator circuitry called the number 4ETS for Electronic Translator System. The last number 4A ETS machine was installed in May 1976 in Madison, Wisconsin, and is known as Madison 2. However, the very first number 4 ESS, Chicago 7, had already been installed a few months earlier in January 1976. It was removed sometime in the late 80s, early 90s, although as of this date in 2005, there's still well over 100 number 4E machines that were installed beginning in the late 70s and all the way up through the late 90s. The six number 4, or later number 4M machines, were Philadelphia 2 in August of 1943, and then during 1948 and 1949, New York 4, Chicago 2, Cleveland 1, Oakland 3 on Franklin, and Boston 2.
When I first started playing with phones in 1970, all of the 4Ms had recording ID numbers consisting of their own area code followed by the digit 2. By 1976, Cleveland's 4M had been changed from 2162 to 21615, and Chicago's had been changed to 3128. Of course, the recording ID numbers that are featured in these tapes only began to appear in the late 1960s. Well, that's it for this segment, but there's more. We haven't covered what it sounds like to dial long distance from number one crossbar. New York City had a lot of that. Do you think number one crossbar is going to sound like number five crossbar when you call long distance? Or perhaps might it sound more like panel? Anyway, the answer to that is coming up, along with a switch type that we hadn't covered before. And some more calls to York, Pennsylvania.